Thank you for joining with us on this 12th day of November. May I invite you to get your Bible and turn with us to Acts chapter 9. Today, if the Lord wills, we'll be reading Acts chapters 9 and 10. And let us remember, as always, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And as we're reading the Scripture here, we're reading the history of the New Testament church. And we begin, in particular, with the church at Jerusalem. And it was the church at Jerusalem that sent out the first missionaries. At that first sermon that was preached there at Jerusalem by Peter, there were 3,000 who were pricked in their heart by the Holy Spirit. And they responded to the invitation that Peter gave. And there were 3,000 of them that were baptized. And they were baptized into this New Testament church. And they were true believers because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And they fellowshiped together. And they had communion at the Lord's table. And they met together every day and prayed and broke bread from house to house. And this first church at Jerusalem did not have a church building. But they were a called out group of believers, and they praised God. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. And as we read, these baptized believers of this first church, they had come to Jerusalem. They were proselytes who had come to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. And the Bible tells us that they were out of every nation under heaven. There was Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, in Persia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in parts of Libya, and Cyrene. They were from Rome. They were both Jews and proselytes. There was Cretes and Arabians. They were all there. And they have been saved, and they have been baptized. And this is the beginning of the early church. And these 3,000 who were added to that 120 that was gathered there in that upper room, this is a group of people that are ostracized by the leaders of Jerusalem. But it didn't matter that they were ostracized. They had been saved. And they had become a part of the greatest institution on earth. They had become a part of the church of God. And this church was a church that was in one accord. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold. And this is a church in action. And think about this for a minute. All of these people, from all of these different ethnic groups and different languages, different dialects, that were saved. It began with the 3,000, added to the 120. And then every day the Lord was saving others. So the church was growing. And because they were Christians, the Jewish leaders of the city ostracized them. And these people who had come out of every nation are now living in Jerusalem. And they don't want to leave their church. This is their church. And they did not leave until they were forced to leave because of such extreme persecution that was put upon the church at Jerusalem. But here they are. And you know they can't find jobs. And you know there was nobody who would give them anything. There certainly was no welfare program, and there certainly was no food stamp program. And so the church did what it does best. It took care of its people. All that believed were together and had all things in common. And that's what love does. Love makes sure that everybody is taken care of. They make sure that everyone's needs are met. And there were those who even sold their possessions. They sold their goods. And they distributed according to anyone who had need, as they had need. And this is not communism. This was not government-mandated distribution of the wealth and taxation of the rich to give to the poor. This was love. This was charity. This was not taken from one and given to another. This system was those who had gave willingly for their fellow believers that had needs. Nobody forced them to give. As we read about Ananias and Sapphira, here they were, a husband and a wife. And they were a part of this New Testament church. And Ananias and Sapphira were members of this church who had something. And they went and sold some of their property. But they were hypocrites. They were operating under a false pretense. They were pretending to be more charitable than what they were. They made out like they were given everything. But they had agreed amongst themselves to hold some of it back. And they just brought a part of what they had received and laid it at the apostles' feet, trying to make others believe that they had given everything, like the other Christians were doing. And they would sell a piece of property, they would come and bring all the proceeds. But Ananias and Sapphira, they just pretended to bring it all. And they didn't have to bring any of it. It wasn't demanded of them to do this, but they saw everybody else doing it. And they saw the joy and the blessings that everyone else was walking in. And so they wanted to get in on this also, but they were stingy. They said, we'll keep back a part of it. And the sin was not in the gift that they gave. They didn't have to give all unless they chose to give all. But their sin was in pretending to give it all when in secret they were holding back a part of it. And once again, this bears out, anytime you have to do something secretly, anytime you got to hide to do something, anytime you have to lie about something, you know what you're doing is not right. And Peter said to Ananias when he came in, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back a part of the price of the land? And Peter told Ananias, he said, while it was yours, it was your own. And after it was sold, it was still your property. You could do with what you wanted. Why did you conceive this thing in your own heart to lie? Make out like you were given everything. You've not lied unto men, but you have lied unto God. And when Ananias heard these words from the Apostle Peter, he fell down and gave up the ghost. He died right there. And that was Ananias' fault, was listening to the devil and being deceitful. Peter asked him, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And 3 hours later, his wife came in, and she hadn't received the news. And Peter asked her, he said, tell me, how much did y'all sell that land for? Did y'all sell it for so much? And Peter gave that amount that Ananias had lied to them about. And she said, yes, that's how much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out also. And Ananias and Sapphira had provoked the Lord to anger by their hypocrisy. And here, Sapphira, she also falls down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out also. And they had agreed to do this together. But she didn't have to stick with the falsehood. Peter gave her an opportunity to stand where her husband had fallen. But it's a terrible thing when husband and wife go hand in hand in hypocrisy, and they both together sin the sin unto death. And the Bible tells us that great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And this is how the church operated in these early days. They were a single organized group of believers. They were the body of Christ. The word church means the called out ones. The ecclesia. They were called out from the rest of the people of the world. And they had a special relationship with God. And this church, from the day of Pentecost until now, includes all believers. And it wasn't a building that held them together. It wasn't a denomination that held them together. It was love. It was charity. It was the doctrine of the apostles. It was the fellowship that they had. They were baptized believers into this New Testament church. The church had its origin with the apostles' confession of faith. Peter made the proclamation to Jesus when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And here, with Ananias and Sapphira, we see the very first act of church discipline. And this church was built upon faith. We believe that Christ is the Son of God. And a proof of that faith is love. The Apostle John said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." The Apostle John said that we know that we love God when we love the children of God. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you love the Lord? Then that is evidence that you are born again. And obedience to Christ's commandments proves our faith, especially obedience to the command which bids us to love. Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And how much we love our neighbor shows how much we love God. Where there is no love of our fellow man, there is no true faith. And the church was so big, so fast, and there was so much need that the apostles were spending all their time distributing the necessities to the members of the church. And so they called a church meeting together. And they said, "It's not pleasing that we have left the Word of God to take care of all of these physical needs." And with a church that large, these apostles knew that there were others who could do this work. And so they called the congregation. They said, "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business." They said, "Let's appoint 7 other ministers who can take care of these temporal needs, that we can get back to our main calling of preaching the gospel." Everyone has their particular gift that they can do. And so they told the congregation to choose themselves 7 deacons, 7 servants, who were full of the Holy Spirit, who were people of good report, people that could be trusted with the affairs of the church and with the needs of the people. And the thing was pleasing before all the multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and a man by the name of Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas. And God notes that Nicholas was a proselyte of Antioch. And God has Luke to make a special note here that Nicholas was a proselyte of Antioch. And a proselyte is someone who is not a born Jew. And that was very important, because already many in this New Testament church were not of the Jewish lineage. There were already many proselytes. There were proselytes who made up the first 3,000 that were baptized. And that was very important for Luke to note right here, because there have always been non-Jews who have joined themselves with the people of God. And there was already a conflict in this New Testament church. The first conflict that we read about in the church was that in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. I'm sure that this neglect was not intentional. The 12 apostles were taking care of this business, but mistakes like this happen. And it's not intentional. It's just when you have so many people to deal with, there are always those who are overlooked, just because the apostles were overloaded. That's why the apostles had the church appoint these 7 deacons to rectify this situation. When it was brought to their attention that there was a problem in the church, the apostles immediately took the necessary steps to solve it. And so the church chose these 7 men, and they set them before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They transferred this responsibility to the deacons. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And when this problem was taken care of in this New Testament church, there was harmony and there was progress. And these 7 deacons helped the apostles. And these 7 deacons became preachers of the gospel. And that aided in vast multitudes of people being saved and being added to the church. A great company of priests were obedient to the gospel. And there were thousands of priests. And of these 7 deacons, we have accounts that Luke gives us of the activities of Stephen and Philip. As we were reading yesterday, Stephen, one of the 7 there in the church at Jerusalem, he knew the scripture. And he was bold in proclaiming the Scripture to the unbelievers. And in chapter 6, we read that there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, Cilicia, and of Asia. And they disputed with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And there Stephen is before that council. And he told him, he said, "You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers." And this council, with the same hatred that they crucified Christ, they dragged Stephen out of the city, and they stoned him. And as he was dying, he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." But Stephen told him, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." And Stephen is gone down in church history as being the first New Testament martyr for his faith. When they heard Stephen, one of the first seven deacons in the church at Jerusalem, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And when they heard Stephen expound upon the Old Testament scriptures, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Stephen was preaching the resurrection from the dead through Jesus Christ, just as the apostles taught. And the more Satan is pressed, the more he breaks out into a rage. But Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost, and he looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus was there standing, ready to receive the first martyr. What a vision Stephen had. It gave him grace in his time of need. It gave him courage. It gave him dying grace, as the Lord gives to each one of his saints. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Stephen, at his point of death, the heavens were open, and he was able to see into that eternal world. And Luke the evangelist records for us what he saw. What a vision. What an encouragement it is for all of us to know that the sting of death has been removed from all who are in Christ. And the mob cried out with a loud voice and stopped up their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And as they stoned Stephen, Stephen called out unto God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And this is how a saint leaves this world. This is how the first martyr left this world. His last prayer was, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And from the death of this first martyr, the New Testament church has had thousands of martyrs. And Stephen is the originator of the legacy of the church's martyrs. A legacy of forgiveness, faith, and charity is what makes up a true child of God, even to the last breath. The New Testament church, under the direction of the apostles, certainly made a wise choice in finding Stephen to serve as one of the first deacons of the New Testament church. They certainly found a man full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was a man who could bless those who cursed him. He was a man who could pray for those who despitefully used him. Stephen was a man who could love his enemies. Stephen was a man who could do good to them that hated him. Stephen was certainly a man who walked in Jesus' steps. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is the legacy of the New Testament martyrs. And Stephen was praying for Saul. Saul, who will be reading about his conversion today. Stephen prayed for him. Saul was one who was there witnessing the death of Stephen. And let's pause and have our word of prayer and read our scripture for today. Father, we worship you today. And though we have not been called upon to die for you, Lord, let us live for you today. Lord, let us give you our best today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if any be found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and come hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. And their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, and Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band, called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, Who is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And that completes our scripture reading for today. Thank you for joining with us. If the Lord wills, we'll be back with you tomorrow. And remember, until then, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.